This is Focus with Emma Griffiths on ABC Radio Brisbane.
Have you had to go for a job lately? It's a very different setup from when you might have left school or uni and gone out looking. For instance, remember the old CES, the Commonwealth Employment Service? When you went to the CES, looked at the jobs posted on the board, and you put in your application. All handwritten or typed up. Well, you know, that was axed in 1998. So now the job of finding you a job lies with the private sector, and it has done for 20 years. So how's that worked out? A Senate inquiry is looking at the so-called Job Active system. It's due to report back in early December. Next week, the government will also get a report from an independent panel it's set up. So change is on the way. Today, you'll learn about the issues. Here's some suggestions and ideas. And from you, looking for your experiences to inform and guide the discussion. What did you have to do the last time you went for a job? 1300 222 612 is the number to be part of Focus today. This is your show. What did you have to do the last time you went for a job? To text 0467 922 612. Looking for the whole gamut of experiences there. Did you get a job through a friend? Have you gone through a job active service provider and had some success? Or not? And if you're an employer, how did you get your last great staff member? Need to hear your suggestions and experiences today.
Emma Griffiths, Focus on ABC Radio Brisbane.
Also, if you are in and out of the car today and you want to keep listening, you can do so through the ABC Listen app. Download it and listen to us through your headphones. And if you want to catch up a bit later, this hour of Focus will be up on the ABC Radio Brisbane website. Head to your search engine and push in ABC Radio Brisbane Focus, and it will come up for you. Cassandra Goldie is the CEO of the Australian Council of Social Service, and Green Senator Rachel Sewitt looks after family and community services issues as well. And shortly we will hear from Jeremy Poxon, who's the spokesman for the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. We did approach Federal Jobs Minister Kelly O'Dwyer to come on, and the Business Council of Australia. They were unavailable. And we also tried jobs provider for the Salvation Army Employment Plus, but no response there. Senator Sewitt, start with you first. What prompted this Senate inquiry?
The number of complaints that I've been getting and my colleagues have been getting from people who have been accessing the services by job active providers, there was a litany of complaints and people saying very strongly to us that, in fact, the process damages their mental health, causes a great deal of anxiety, and they're just not performing and people aren't being able to find jobs.
They're just not performing. What do you mean? Is that they, the service providers?
The service providers, many of them. And of course, I'm not commenting on every single job provider here, but the experiences that people articulate to us is that they don't get adequate support, they make mistakes. The process overwhelmingly is focused on a punitive approach that's more about breaching people and compliance than actively supporting people to find jobs. The training provided does not meet people's needs. Their job plans, people feel they're coerced into accepting them, otherwise they'll be breached. Breaching means you lose access to your income support, Newstart, and that's perilously low as it is. And if people miss even a day's support, it means that they're forced even further into poverty.
Cassandra Goldie, we spoke to you a couple of weeks ago about that level of New Start and asked whether it should be increased in that show. And through that, we heard lots of people who'd been looking for work through JobActive say it's really hard to navigate this system. You've also said that it leads to anxiety, not jobs. How so, in your opinion?
Well, yes, thank you for continuing to keep this really important public discussion going. The experience that Senator Seward has just described, which triggered the Senate inquiry, is exactly the kind of feedback that ACOS has consistently been receiving from people who are affected by unemployment in Australia. I must say, we also rarely hear any employer that says they find the system satisfactory either. So both for people who are currently unemployed and for employers, it is clearly not working. And there is a toxic combination of three major factors here. The first is Australia does have the lowest level of the unemployment payments. So people who are affected by unemployment are in deep distress financially. The second factor is that we have, with the UK, the harshest compliance system. And compliance is a kind of nice word for it, but really is very punitive. Rachel has given a number of the key features of the obligations that are now in place for people who are unemployed in order to just keep that measly $39 a day coming in, the New Start payment. It's extremely harsh. And the third factor is that we spend less than half of the OECD average on employment assistance. So that's the JobActive side of things, the employment service providers, the people who are funded to provide help to you if you're on a low income and you've lost your job. So this is a really nasty set of circumstances for people. And so it is a major problem for us. The government tries to suggest nothing to see here. You know, we've got plenty of jobs available. It's, you know, the economy is doing well. And yet overwhelmingly for people who are affected by unemployment, of course, the labour market is not easy either. It is a really harsh, nasty set of circumstances, and it is acutely affecting people's mental health in this way.
We're talking about the JobActive system, which is the privatised system that uses taxpayers' money, funds agencies to then find you a job. And it was brought in the late 90s after the old Commonwealth Employment Service was axed. And now, 20 years later, there's an independent panel looking at how it's operating and a Senate inquiry doing the same as well. Asking you today, when you last went for a job, what did you have to do? 1300 222 612. And yes, if you are an employer, how did you find your last great employee? The Jobs Minister, the Federal Jobs Minister, Kelly O'Dwyer, was unable to join us today, but she sent through a statement which essentially said employment services are achieving strong results in helping job seekers. JobActive has achieved more than 1.1 million job placements and has delivered better employment outcomes at a lower cost than previous models. And that 1.1 million job placements is since this particular iteration of the private system came into effect in 2015. So from you today, the last time you went for a job, what did you have to do? Jeremy Poxon is a spokesman for the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. First off, Jeremy, can you tell me about the Unemployed Workers Union? How are you set up?
Yeah, so we're a voluntary run national organisation, populated entirely by job seekers.
How do you become a member?
And welfare recipients. Basically, there's no fee like regular unions. It's very easy to join up. Go to our website, unemployedworkersunion.com, or if you ring our advocacy line as well, it's very easy to become a member, and it's open to all, but especially people within the JobActive system.
And so, Jeremy, that question asking everybody today, what did you have to do the last time you went for a job?
Yeah, well, I'm currently in the JobActive system, so I get to operate this double-edged sword where I do have a casual job, so I'm underemployed, but I also have to engage with the employment services system. So that's where I have to apply for my 20 jobs a month. I have completed a Work for the Dole 6-month program in the past at an op shop, which, surprise, surprise, did not lead me into a job at the end of it. And I attend regular meetings with my job agent. I've actually got one tomorrow. So, yeah, I'm running the full gamut.
And the Work for the Dole experience that you had, what did that involve in terms of hours?
So I had to do 50 hours a fortnight in the back of an op shop, sorting through dirty clothes, sweeping the floors, that kind of thing. So, you know, for all that, you know, labor, I got an extra $10 a week from my job agent.
And another thing to put on your CV?
Well, no, that hasn't gone onto my CV because it's not an industry or an activity that really synced up with my requirements or my vision of where I want to be in my professional life. Rather, it was a task I was, you know, forced to undertake just to keep my benefits, because, you know, to not have my entitlements would have been devastating to any chance I'd have to find work.
Okay, Jeremy, Rob has called in from Manly. Rob, what did you have to do the last time you went for a job?
Oh, I had to find one myself. Basically, I'm a mature-age person, 62. Had him retired early, but through circumstances decided that my wife and I both needed to go back to work. And what we found was that my background is in marketing management and that sort of thing. We'd turn up every second week for our meeting with our provider. They'd have three pages of names, of which four or five people would turn up and get ticked off. Then they'd tell us what factory hand jobs were around the place that they'd been notified of, which at 62 was not something that I was capable of going and doing anymore.
What can I just ask, why was that, Rob?
Oh, from a health,
yep.
Physical health point of view. I went and found some bits and pieces of contract work, which I began doing. I still have to, so you report your hours, you report your income, you still turn up at your job active meetings, et cetera, et cetera. I was eventually told that because of my mature age that any potential employer would be eligible for $10,000 subsidy for employing me, which was great. I got some contract work, again, with a company, and it led to a full-time job. And 3 or 4 weeks before it was going to become a full-time job, I told the provider that, hey, this is great, but the work I found is going to turn into a full-time job from the start of the new financial, and, you know, I'll be fine. And they went, oh, that's great, that's fantastic, we'll put that down on our records. I started in the full-time job. The employer applied for the subsidy and was told that I'd been taken off Newstart at that point 3 weeks previous, and I was no longer eligible for the subsidy.
And what did the employer do?
You could go back to Centrelink and see if they'll reinstate it. So I went and spent 6 hours in Centrelink, and they did reinstate it, and then told me to go back to the provider. And I went back to the provider, and they said, oh, you're not appearing in the system as at this point. We'll keep trying. Yeah, well, that was July, and my employer has still been chasing it, and it appears it's not going to happen. But I do get regular phone calls saying, how's things going? Are you still there? Is the job good? So it makes me feel that they've put down, tick, we found this person a job, and he's still there, and what a great job we've done. And and the converse, in the lead up to the Commonwealth Games, my wife was told, there's a huge demand for security guards at the Commonwealth Games. We can pay for you to do a Cert 3 course in security, get your security license, and then you'll be able to get work at Commonwealth Games, plus the airport, et cetera, et cetera. So she actually went and did the course, and by the time they got her through the course, all of the employing was done for the Commonwealth Games. And then there were literally hundreds and hundreds of people that have been trained in security that are now in the job market looking for work.
So, Rob, those experiences, what conclusion have they led you to?
Well, after, for a short time, you know, between bits and pieces of work that we picked up ourselves, living on Newstart, the Newstart is, like, not survivable. You just could not possibly support yourself in any shape or form on Newstart. But I felt as if there was five times as much money being spent on me in the job active process than there was actually giving me to support myself.
Oh dear.
And I just felt like that the money that is being used and being spent is not being spent well.
Okay. What about you? The last time you went for a job, what did you have to do? 1300 222 612. Listening to that, Cassandra Goldie, there's a lot there, isn't it? The low rate of new starts, come back again. Mm-hmm. And also the age of the applicants. We know from discussions on this show as well that ageism is rife in the employment sector. How can Job Active or a renewed system address that?
Well, look, Rob's, you know, it's great that Rob, you've called in and shared that, because it's a very individual situation, but it really highlights some of the big systemic problems with what's going on, what the government, this government, successive governments have built over the last 20 years, which is essentially not focused on, you know, at its heart, genuinely providing flexible, good, solid support to people to get paid work in the labour market in which they live. That's what we should be trying to do. I mean, and also I think to highlight that in the sort of media discussion, often it's this single line that says, oh, the best form of welfare is a job. And you know, we've got another story today just running, you know, headline, welfare cheats, right? This combination of two very nasty messages when you hear the individual situations, that the reality that we've got 70% of people who are longer term unemployed, so have been struggling to survive on Newstart for over 12 months. That almost 50% of people are over 45 years of age. So this idea that everybody affected by this is just, you know, surfing on the beach. Remember that, you know, this crazy notion. And the reality is that many people are older, and that the system is not recognising that it is hard for people to break back into the labour market. Now, Rob's highlighted one element which is a positive, these wage subsidies. We referred to that $10,000.
Yes.
That is the kind of thing ACOS and many others have proposed, that we should be expanding more, that in terms of good money spent, helping to provide a subsidy to break back into the labour market, you know, to get you that first job back in, really does help.
But does Cassandra Goldie? Because, I mean, I've heard that that $10,000 bonus is great. Someone will have a job for a year and then, oh, sorry, we've got to cut back again. So they lose their job.
Absolutely. And, of course, this is part of the challenge for us, that in any circumstance, you know, we've got to ensure that the kinds of additional supports that might help to get you to the closer to the front of the queue when you're out of paid work, there's a risk that that happens. And so that does require us to carefully monitor this, to be bringing, you know, to make sure that the employers that are taking the benefit of this subsidy are not using it to churn people through. I totally accept that. But in contrast to the woefully failed Work for the Dole, I mean, Rob talked about that, you know, not only is it deeply offensive, I think, for people who are, Jeremy also talked about it, that it actually stigmatises you, makes you less employable, you know, because you are trying to present yourself in every job application you do. You're trying to present yourself as ready to get back into work, to demonstrate that the kinds of skills you've got behind you, you know, make you a great opportunity for an employer. And then you've got to, you know, hide the fact that you've been in work for the dole. I mean, what is that about? It certainly didn't improve, Jeremy, I'm sure, your employability, did it? You know, just made it even harder for you psychologically and, you know, in terms of the time that you had to put into it.
Jeremy, what sort of work are you looking for?
So my background's in sort of communications, journalism, that kind of thing. And so even while doing, you know, work for the Dole, I was still freelancing at the same time and editing and doing that kind of work. So, yeah, there was real, you know, you'd have to have a very wild imagination to sort of work out what the use of sort of sticking me in the back of an op shop would be to sort of improve, either improve my skills or, you know, make my CV more presentable to employers in that kind of comms field.
25 past 10 on ABC Radio Brisbane. This is Focus. I'm Emma Griffiths, and we're talking about the system that finds jobs, Job Active. There's a couple of inquiries looking at it at the moment. It's due for a reset in 2020. And so we're looking at the issues, hearing about the suggestions and ideas to improve it. But what about from you? What did you have to do the last time you went for a job? 1300 222 612 to call in, to text 0467 922 612. And if you are an employer, how did you find your last great staff member? Was it through a Job Active service provider? Or, I mean, did you just get somebody that a mate of a mate recommended? Keen to hear the gamut of experiences on this, 1300 222 612. The Business Council of Australia were unable to come onto the show today, but it did send in a submission to an independent panel that the government has set up, and said that many member businesses don't have any engagement with Job Active providers. So they actually don't work with the service providers to find staff members. And that of the ones that did have applicants come through from Job Active providers, many of the applicants were in no way suitable. So it sounds like it's not working for either side of the job equation at the moment. What about for you, a job seeker, 1300 222 612? When you last applied for a job, what did you have to do? Green Senator Rachel Seawitt, wondering what the Senate inquiry may have heard about Work for the Dole.
Well, at the moment, we're still getting submissions in, and as people who are looking on our website, the Senate website at the moment, those submissions aren't publicly available yet. But what I'm hearing, and from the submissions that people have individually sent me, people are expressing their personal opinions. Work for the Dole, overwhelmingly I hear from people, just doesn't work. It's just not giving people the experience. It's more like people talk about they feel like they're being punished, that it's activity for activity's sake, that it's not matched to their skills, and they're not getting any training out of it. And I've heard from older workers, younger workers, and older workers are particularly have been devastated by the attitude of the people working in Job Active, and the fact that they're not paying attention to their individual needs, that they're put through training that's basically just so the Job Active provider can say they've trained somebody. I've had somebody say to me they've done the same course three times and it didn't help the first time. People also talk about, and Jeremy referred to having to apply for 20 jobs a month. And put yourself in the shoes of the person that's applied for 20 jobs a month and had 20 rejections. That has a tremendous impact on people's self-esteem and mental health. And now the government's got a regulation that they want to pass that's going to have a go at people for applying for jobs that they're not suitable for. When the government says you are going to be basically at risk of losing your income support payment if you don't apply for 20 jobs, of course people are going to apply for whatever they can so that they are making an attempt to find work.
So do we need to dump that then, Senator?
Yes, very definitely. What we need to be doing is making sure that we're taking a much more individualised approach. People talk about feeling like they're in a sausage factory. They don't feel like they're heard, they don't feel like they're given individual support, and they don't feel that they have any control over their job plan, which they're required to have, because there's threats of losing income support and being breached. None of this helps people find work and treats them as human beings. that's what people feel like. They feel like they're being dehumanised by the system.
It's 10:30 on ABC Radio Brisbane. A couple of your responses coming in. On Twitter, Dave has said, the CES, Commonwealth Employment Service, back in the day, gave me my first start in Australia after arriving from New Zealand. Had only been in the country 24 hours. The last time I got a job, it was through a labour hire company and it progressed to full-time, all largely owing to the experience of that first job, by the way. And Connie has said, Job Active never finds you a job. All they claim is to get you job ready, that is, get a resume together and report to them every fortnight. You are expected to get your own job. You are on their list and mostly they get paid for doing nothing, says Connie. 1300 222 612 is the number to call. Craig, we spoke to you a couple of weeks ago as well when we were talking about increasing the rate of New Start. How have you found the Job Active system?
The Job Active system, well, it's not great. In fact, it's pretty dreadful actually. In a lot of ways that it works. Yes, they do ask you to apply for 20 jobs. 1 month, I've had 1 month's work this whole year that I've managed to be able to get, and I have to get it all off my own bat. They're no actual really help to me. But applying for the 20 jobs, and I was, and there weren't 20 jobs around in my, I'm a procurement professional. There weren't 20 jobs around that I could actually apply for. I only got 10 1 month, and I got chastised and told that no, you've got to get the 20, otherwise they will make you apply for 40. And I went, okay, well, what do I do? And I said, these jobs, I don't want to bother these people because I know I'm not suitable. No, you must apply for these jobs, even if you know you're not suitable for them.
And do you think that, have you had to do work for the dole, Craig?
Yes, I've recently had to start that. It's nothing in my profession. I work in a nice area. I work for Sir Vincent de Paul's call centre, which is actually very nice work to do, and I'm actually helping people, but it's nothing to do with my profession at all. And I had to sort of insist that, oh look, I'm not in a physical condition where I can pick and lift and carry and do all these, you know. Whatever we've got on our books is what the positions that we can give you. There was no sort of nothing to do with really related to my profession or any of my skills. They didn't try and align anything like that. It was the only thing I'm using are my telephone skills.
And Craig, sorry, if you were not doing work for the dole and if you were not having to apply for 20 jobs a month, what would you be doing with your time?
Well, I'd be still looking for work. I mean, the thing is, I would be applying for work.
I'm just wondering, like, if Job Active was instead thinking about giving you some money towards training.
Well, yes, but they look at me and that because I already have some qualifications. I've got an advanced diploma in purchasing and materials management. They look at me and go, oh, you don't need any training. You're fine. I'm left to my own devices. I look for my own work. The work I get is nothing through Job Active. They come up with, I was just shown one the other day, it was an entry-level job. A waste of time. No one is going to look at someone that's well experienced for an entry level job. And all the things that they wanted experience in had nothing to do. I had nothing at all. I looked at all the information and I said, no, I have no experience in that. Oh, but you could learn. Well, yes, I could, but I've got no idea. Previously, when I was first made unemployed back in 2012, I was a permanent public servant, and then I was retrenched as part of all those 14,000 plus. I was appointed to one. They were a trades area, a different organisation that I was under then, and I was under, and they had no idea about anyone that had worked in an office. They don't seem to have, and they had no concept, and many of them don't have any concept of what people are. Their skills, their knowledge, their capabilities. They're trying to suggest you can go and do this, or you can go and do that, or you can go and do something else, but it's not even in your skill level or your experience. And you've got all these high-level experiences. In dealing with the recruitment agencies, I deal with those, and they have a better understanding.
Craig, have you wondered whether a switch in profession or career is needed?
Well, I've looked at that, but look, I mean, I can work anything across in the office sphere. You know, I've worked on many different jobs and had. When I started, I've worked in records management. I've worked in general office. Ideally, in my own profession. And
are you sick of being asked that question?
sometimes I am being asked that question, and I'm going, well, yes, but what am I going to retrain? And is someone going to employ me? Generally, people with basic sort of skills, they're really wanting office juniors, and because I'm over 50, they don't want to. They don't look at you. Ageism is not supposed to, you know, practice ageism, but you know, but organisations do. They look at you, even though you know you don't put your age or your date of birth on your resume. They can look at what you've done and the way you've written it, and that they work out that you're not a junior, or you get to the interview, and I've had it said to me, "Oh, we're concerned that you'll be bored in this role." and that was actually the actual words that was actually said to me. You laugh, but it's true. In an interview, I was going for a lower, and I said, "Oh well, you know, I'm happy to do it. I'm not going to be bored." But yes, we're concerned you'll be bored. And again, that happened quite a while ago. And again, I've had that a comment again for a place to...
It's on par with, you're just too experienced. You might want the boss's job, Craig. That's the problem. I'll just ask Jeremy Poxon there about that. I mean, among your members, is ageism something that you hear a lot about?
Absolutely, and we're getting, you know, an increased amount of calls actually from sort of older New Start recipients as well, especially 50 plus, especially now that from September 22nd there's new intensified obligation requirements whereby even job seekers on New Start, whoever is 60, now have to perform hours of obligation activities, and that sense that yes, they are being, you know, structurally excluded from the labour market as well due to ageism. But I think you also asked Craig a very interesting question just now, and it's a question you never hear at the job service provider table, which is, you know, what would be the best use instead of work for the dole? Like, what would be the best use of your time? That's not a question when you're sitting down at the JSP at the table. You're just handed a job plan with the activities, and you know more often than not forced to sign. There's no sort of negotiation from the information we receive from our members, that job seekers who, believe it or not, do have the best idea of what time and resources they best need to find work are really given no say. Instead, you know, Craig's sort of experience, I think, is quite universal, where it's just sort of these obligations are imposed on you from above, and they don't really improve your employment prospects at all.
Lots of the responses to the government's independent panel are up on the website. We read one from Tony, who's unemployed, and he says he couldn't even choose where to volunteer or what course to do. The job service provider does that. So if they decide, oh, some qualifications would be good for you, here's a course, doesn't matter if it's on the other side of town, you've got to spend a fair whack of your New Start on public transport to get there. So we'll bring you a few more of those responses as well from that panel. Ian in Nunda, though. Ian, you're on your way to an appointment with JobActive now.
Yeah, I'm going to go and do my wonderful... point as who's that guy from that unemployed workers dude?
This is Jeremy.
Hi, I'm Jeremy. How you doing?
How are you, Jeremy? Yeah, basically, you're my three times a week. You're probably lucky if you only have to go there once a fortnight. And my issue is basically I'm fully qualified like the other guy who was on. I'm in the trade area, so there's plenty of work for me, and I'm prepared to go and be a TA again.
What's that? Sorry, Ian.
I'm older. And my issue is I'm actually recovering from a major medical issue. So basically I'm recovering and I come back in and I have to do this. The 20 jobs, no problem. I'll put them in, I'll go to interviews. They won't want me, they know I'm overqualified. I'll still sit there, so what? I'm happy to do it, but it's a waste of time. And then when I do get something, the job active provider, which is obviously working on behalf of this government, because they're obviously making money out of this government, because they, the other guy said they took him off and they wanted to say, we got you the job, even though most of the jobs I get myself. And it's obviously something to do with Scott Morrison, when he was Treasurer, making a lot of money from these job active providers and then paying them back.
Well, I think it's been the case ever since it was privatised in the late 90s that taxpayer funds goes to these private businesses, and some of them are not-for-profit as well.
But Emma, it doesn't go, the money they're making doesn't go, like if it was not-for-profit, doesn't go to helping the person getting the job. It goes to the company for getting people a job, regardless whether they're suited or not. So all these things, there's not 20 jobs out there for a recovering person who wants to come back in the workforce at a base level, if he's fully qualified, because you, as someone said, the boss is probably worried about his job if he's put someone who's as qualified as him there.
That was me. So what are you expecting to happen at this appointment today, Ian?
It's just another tick and flick, really. It's just another tick and flick meeting. And it's one of those ones that basically takes up time from me actually doing my own job search. And the reason I'm not too worried is because I've had worse than that in the last 3 years. I'm basically lucky to be alive. I was turned blue and nearly dead, had to go in the Royal and get fixed. And I had to have 2 years out of my life lying on a hospital getting better. So I don't really care what they make me do. I'll go to appointments, I'll get a job at the bottom. And I've got to the point where I don't care what they think, because I know Scott Morrison is only out there to make money for his mates who volunteer, and I'm just one of the ones that the donation that his mates got get back to, because they're finding me work. And they're not finding me work. They're trying. The people who work there are fine, but the company's not, doesn't care. They're only getting a tick so that the Liberal Party gives them money.
Oh, Ian, it sounds like you've been through the lot.
So I'm recovering from an injury. I've been doing all the work myself, and I've still got to do this so Scott Morrison gets his numbers. The numbers mean nothing, Emma.
Let's see if we can get an explanation of that, Ian.
Someone stand up in Parliament and actually make a comment to say, look how many jobs you've created, and a lot of these jobs are only a three-day job, but it's still a job. You have to leave that, go to another one. You've had four jobs in 2 months. But you've had four jobs, and there's four jobs created and filled, and then they're finished.
Well, Senator Rachel Sewitt with the Greens is with us and is part of the Senate inquiry looking at this system. Senator, what could you say in explanation of how the system works at the moment in terms of taxpayer funds going to those groups? Oh, Rachel Sewitt's not with us. Okay, well, we'll try and get some clarification on that as well. Certainly, we did have Kelly O'Dwyer unable to appear today and sent us a statement instead saying that JobActive has achieved more than 1.1 million job placements since this particular system began in 2015. Cassandra Goldie, I know that ACOS is also on the independent panel set up by the government to look at this. Can you explain at all how the system works in terms of what these agencies are paid?
Single person who's sharing their story today is consistent with the big picture that we see here, and we've welcomed the commitment by the government to be prepared to seriously review how this whole system is working. I must say we're very worried that part of the big problem is the strict compliance obligations which overlay all of this. When you hear about, you know, the applying for 20 jobs a fortnight, when you hear about, you know, the risk of people being cut off from Social Security, a lot of that is actually legislation which is out of the control of the employment service providers themselves anyway. And also, with the government saying it's not prepared to put any additional resources into this system, we know that at the moment the employment service provider worker has got 150 people in their caseload. And so this tick and flick that you hear people talking about,
Ian,
is absolutely what we know is happening.
So each worker in the system has to look after 150 job seekers.
That's right. And when 70% of people have been out of paid work for over 12 months, when we know that we've got 45% of people who are over 45, we've got a significant number of people who have now, we've got almost a third of people have some kind of disability, because the government over the last number of years has successfully made it harder and harder for people with disability to get onto the disability support pension. You're on Newstart. And so for many people, it is really a big challenge in a labour market that where there aren't the number of jobs available. I mean, that's the other part of it. We need a government that says it's committed to seriously full employment and an acknowledgement that currently there is still only one job available for every eight people who are either unemployed or underemployed. And if you take into account that you're competing with other people who do have a job right now, because of course somebody can be applying for a job who's got a job already, it's one job for every 14 people. And then if you go to entry-level work, it's an even higher number of people that you're competing with. And so this acknowledges, should be acknowledging, that we need a serious investment in time that is very individualised around, you know, your circumstances, your employment history, your skills, the local labour market, and that requires serious time and investment and a good relationship between you and the person working on your behalf in the employment services system. And we just don't have that.
Let's hear from...
It is absolutely a churn system. And all I hear it from employment service providers who are very committed behind the scenes to trying to help people to say, we feel we are being required to just discipline people, and that we can't be committed to really putting in our best effort either to help people get a job.
14 minutes to 11 on ABC Radio Brisbane. This is Focus. You're with Emma Griffiths. Cassandra Goldie is the CEO of ACOS. Jeremy Poxon is spokesman for the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. And we're talking about JobActive. It's being reviewed at the moment to see how it could be improved. It's the private system to help job seekers find work. Carolyn, you used to work in the sector.
Yes, I did. Yes, some years back, yeah.
And what was it like?
Look, I actually worked very early on in Work for the Dole, and if someone had told me I would be doing that, I would have laughed at them. That was back when there were community work providers, so all it was community work, and all you did was work for the Dole, and it wasn't like it is today, in the sense that, you know, your mandatory activity, et cetera, et cetera. So it was really more focused on doing something in your community for a period of time. But, however, things changed quite rapidly, and we then, in fact, some of our organisation lost contracts because we couldn't meet the criteria that the government wanted in terms of what they wanted from the job service providers at that time, as things changed. I also work in disability as well, with disability employment.
And Carolyn, what's your concern about it?
Well, at the end of the day, when you've got private providers, I mean, clearly they're there to make a profit. They're not in it because, you know, they feel that it's a wonderful, kind human thing to do. I mean, they want to make money. So how do they do that? They make that out of unemployed people. I mean, it's an industry. And so at the end of the day, it's not in their interest, in terms of profit making, to have full employment. What they need is to be churning people through, getting outcome payments, churning outcome, churning outcome. People are in a job for 6 months, possibly 12 at best, and then that person, doesn't matter really how well they did that job, they're out of that job and someone else has put in it, so there's another lot of outcome payments.
And so the outcome payment is what the service provider gets paid when they find somebody a job. It's like a bonus payment.
I mean, you know, they're getting their administration fees, their management fees, obviously, for their contract, but the way that they make additional funding is through these outcome payments.
Okay. And gosh.
Yeah.
We've also got Matt from The Gap calling in. Matt?
Hi.
Hi. So when is it your family members that have had to go through the system?
Yes. And I actually work as an education consultant too. So I work with some private training providers who sometimes work with these job agencies. And certainly I can can acknowledge a lot of what's being said here in terms of the profit motive. Even for non-profit enterprises, they're very much making decisions based on money they can get out of each system, because perhaps due to the limited funding, or because they are private providers, that definitely drives their decision making around, you know, what training to provide or what sort of jobs they're trying to put people into. I know a number of training providers that have had very innovative training programs where they teach people how to drive a range of different certificate programs that could potentially assist them getting work. But unless those training providers are willing to pass on money to the JobActive providers, they're just not promoted, or those opportunities are not given to the people who are seeking them.
So it sounds very frustrating.
Absolutely. And regarding my sister actually decided recently, after finishing university, to flirt with the system. She was having trouble finding work. She thought that she would be able to get some assistance with it. She had some casual work working at the university where she was at, and she had to cancel some of her shifts in order to make an appointment with a job agency. When she was on the way to the job agency, she received a text message saying that the location of the interview had changed to another place. She took it in her stride. She went to the other location, you know, despite having only 10 minutes notice to get there. When she turned up to the second location, she was told they had no idea that, you know, why she was there, what the purpose of her visit was, and there was some sort of administrative error. So she sort of lost that paid work for nothing, and ended up just getting very stressed out from the system when she was thinking that, you know, it would be helping her find a job that she was after. So the opposite happened.
Wow. What did she end up doing?
At the moment, she's in a state. So I'm sure she would have liked to share the story herself, but she's gone on a bit of a find herself journey, I think. And hopefully she'll come back refreshed and we'll seek some assistance, but it will almost certainly not be through the job provider network.
Gosh, well, don't tell anybody that she's gone surfing, will you?
Oh, she hasn't gone surfing and not receiving any payments.
I'm being facetious. Thanks so very much. Thank you. We've got a few more minutes left, and Senator Rachel Sewitt from the Greens is back with us. Senator, I'm keen to know, just in the last 8 minutes of the show that we've got going, what do you think is the future for this? I mean, would you ever advocate that Australia go back to a public-run system? Senator? No, not there. Hang on. Yes, you are? Hello?
Hi.
Sorry, there's start again.
No problem at all. There's certainly a lot of people that are advocating that. The current system is not working. You've just heard examples of how it's not working. We need a much more individualised approach that meets people's needs, that isn't punitive, and that is actually ensuring that people are supported to find work that suits them, and are not... It's not a job is a job is a job for people. You just heard from people that have been older workers that are being treated with disdain, aren't able to find the support they need, aren't being properly advised about the training needs, about whether they should totally reskill or whether there are additional training areas in the area in which they work. But the current system is not working. This top-down punitive approach does not work.
So there's two elements to it, Senator, is there? There's like the punitive approach, work for the dole, the 20 jobs a month you have to apply for. It seems you'd be in favour of getting rid of that. But in terms of the actual system to find people work, do the Greens believe that it should be brought back under the public wing?
That's certainly where I'm leaning in terms of looking at where we should be going into the future. We certainly need a services that, as I was saying, meet people's needs, but the current approach is not working and we need to be looking for at approaches that work. Now, in New Zealand, the ultimate responsibility, as I understand it, is still with government agencies. There are some private or some not-for-profit organisations that provide some of those supports, but the ultimate responsibility is still with government agencies.
Cassandra Goldie, do you think that, you know, a CES Mark II should be reformed?
Look, I think that's an option that is on the table, but I don't think that we will deal with the heart of the issues here unless we step back and also heavily revisit the obligations, the compliance system that is being forced onto people, because regardless of who is providing the service, it's the kinds of obligations that is the major problem here. It is extremely punitive. There's a lack of flexibility, and there's not enough resources that are going in to genuinely provide the flexible, individualised support for people. I mean, ACOS, together with Choice, in the last period, we've done a major investigation into what we think has happened to a range of human services that have been put out for competitive tendering, for competition approaches. And this is a big example of it, employment services. And it's fundamentally flawed. There's no question about that. What we've seen is that when you go into a competitive approach, it is driven by profit. It also undermines any attempt to collaborate. I mean, we've heard many people talk about the fact that the local employment service provider, they're not helping to sort of build the relationships with employers. In many cases, what we need at a regional level is a collaborative approach between people directly affected by unemployment, by service providers who are designed to help people, and by local employers. And we're not seeing anywhere near that kind of collaboration. It's almost like there's this sort of, you know, focus on making sure that you are meeting your obligations to the government and not reaching out across into the community. And we'd really like to revisit the whole competition approach to service delivery in this area.
Okay, we've just a couple of minutes left. I want to squeeze in one more caller. But before I do, Jeremy, what does the Unemployed Workers Union advocate in terms of an alternative? Briefly.
Yeah, we definitely advocate for a return of a Commonwealth employment service, whatever that takes. But in future, and just building on Cassandra's very good point, with this, you know, privatised system left to its own devices, we've heard with all your calls the problems therein. But this is a system where job seekers, the main clients of the system, aren't even involved in the design, development or implementation of JobActive. So at the barest minimum, job seekers need a seat at the table with the government to co-design a system that works for everybody.
And the Business Council of Australia says one of its key recommendations is that it has to be user-focused, both on the person looking for a job and on the businesses looking for workers.
It can't be user-focused if you're keeping unemployed people out of the room when you're designing the service, which is what the government continues to do.
Let's hear from Simon. Simon, what's it been like for you?
Hell. But please let me know when I run out of time.
You've got 1 minute.
I've recently been made redundant. I had to prove to my bank for my mortgage insurance that I was actually unemployed, so I had to register with Centrelink. I actually wore shoes to the interview, which was interesting. I was then chastised by a job.
Why is that interesting?
Well, no one else had shoes on in the line.
I'll get you now.
I then got a text message saying I didn't turn up for an interview at a job placement agency. No one informed me that I had to do that. So the one I rocked up to in Brisbane interviewed me in a room. While she was interviewing me, the reflection behind her on the window, I could see her doing Facebook status on her phone, which was just really strange. I was then...
That's not good.
A payment of some sort from Centrelink, which didn't go in because they had my details mixed up with someone else. I then asked to speak to another job placement agency, so I registered with them. My payment was cancelled again because the last job active place hadn't passed on my details. I then went back into Centrelink and complained to be told there's nothing they can do. You have to speak to your job active provider. I went to a job active, another one, job active provider. They sent me on to an interview, which I was happy to attend, but when I was being interviewed, they said, who sent you here? You haven't got the right qualifications.
Simon.
It just goes on and on.
Hell. He's talking about hell with the job active system. Thanks so much for calling. And thank you, Cassandra Goldie, Jeremy Poxon and Green Senator Rachel Sewert for talking through the job active system today.
Thank you.
And thank you for your calls and texts and experiences as well. I'll be back tomorrow with Focus at 10.
Craig Zonka and Rebecca Levingston.
We're here to make you smarter,
your life easier,
and to share a laugh as you get your day underway.
Weekday mornings from 6 on ABC Radio Brisbane.